Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Let me tell you one thing, baby. You're gonna miss my love. Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. Tonight we got a fantastic show coming your way, but I first want to thank all my listeners from north to south and east and west and all my global listeners, but I want to start thanking everyone first at the United States, France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, United Kingdom, Canada, Nigeria and Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Japan, Pakistan, Iraq, Peru, Russia, India, Netherlands, Indonesia, Portugal, St. Vincent, and the Grenadine Islands. Thank all y'all for tuning in because in the last few years, man, we are starting to go all around the globe, man. We're making it do what it do, but I can't do it without my fantastic co-hosts, so I'm going to introduce them to you right now. Hi, Mark. Okay, I don't know what's going on with him. Okay, hi, Alan.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Terry.
Yeah. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I think Mark might be in the bathroom. You know, you gonna hear the toilet flushing or something? Cause I don't know where he went. But anyway, we got to introduce our phenomenal guest tonight. Her name is Dee Robinson, and, you know, if you want to get a little taste of her to wet your whistle, she was a female who just sung that song, There Was a Time, you know, because we all got that in our past, There Was a Time. Not only is she a songstress and got many recordings, she's also a writer, a poet, and if that is not enough, she has her own nightclub where she can get your party on. So if you want to talk about this phenomenal woman, this musical genius, oh, baby, 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 she do so much stuff, she even play her bass guitar. So you know something, if you want to call and talk to her, just dial 347-945-6003. Hit that one key, and it'll let me know that you got a comment or a question. So without further ado, let's all welcome Dee Robinson. Hi, girl. How you doing?
Hey, hey. Hey, what's happening?
It's all you. It's all you. And my calls, don't be scared. You can raise your voice. You can get loud. You know how we do. We're loud, motley crew.
Don't be shy.
Well, I'm going to start off with Al and let him ask his question. Oh, let me mention, too, for y'all who don't know, Alan is our resident medium, and I just found out just a matter of a few minutes ago that Dee Robinson is also a medium, so go figure. So, Alan, it's on you first, darling.
Okay. Like I was telling her before, talking to another medium is like talking shop with me. I really like it. I enjoy it a lot. My question is, Dee, what was your childhood like? I have a picture in my mind as to what it is because you're so professional, you're so successful at what you're doing, and you're very talented, not on only one thing. You know, I might have wrote 5 books, but that's about all I can do, you know. You do everything. So what was your childhood like? Do you mind telling us?
Well, actually, I had a rather unique childhood, but as far as entertainment and talent, I came of age when I was 48 years old with this. Ooh. I didn't start doing anything creatively until I was 48.
Really?
I mean, I used to write, but I didn't realize it was a gift. I would just write and, you know, for school and things like that, but I didn't realize that it was something that I can do until I was 48 years old, and that's mm-hmm. when I did Woman Flower CD. That was the spoken word CD. That's when it came out there. But I used to write now. I've always written. I've always written poetry. But I didn't realize it was anything viable or anything that I could make a living with until I was 48.
Really?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I was always a housewife.
Are you still married to the same man?
No.
Amen.
And another thing also, I used to write for other people. But I would not write for myself. I would write for hire. So I did all those things before I did anything with my name on it.
Wow. Well, that's mm-hmm. good because now you're making it do what it do, and your ex-husband, He probably sad that he lost you because you're making things happen up in the ATL.
Well, you know how it goes. Everything, you know, things change. He can move on. He's doing his thing. I'm doing mine. It's all good.
But sometimes, you know, you need to have a change from other people because sometimes you don't realize that some people hold you back because you're so focused on trying to help them live their dream that you forget about yourself. A lot of people I know, they love each other, but, you know, it seems like they put their spouse ahead of them instead of let their spouse have their own thing, and they have their own thing, and together, you know, they're all clicking it and making it, you know, mixing it up. But, okay, I'll see you.
And it could also be a thing where people are together for a certain period of time for a reason, and
right.
And then you grow beyond each other, and then you move on. I don't think you should stay tied to a person if there's no growth or no activity and nothing happening after a certain point, probably time to move on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
right.
This is Alan. You know,
yes.
It's also hard for us mediums to stay married. Other people just don't understand us. So we have to be very careful when we do find a mate. I went through a few marriages myself before I found my present wife, and she's a medium also, so it really helps out because she understands me and I understand her, you know. So
yeah.
I can see where you come from.
Exactly.
Well, Chris, honey, you got a question for our guest.
I guess, hi, Dee Robinson. My name is Chris Michael Ward. Of course, you know that because we're friends on Facebook. But my question is, I listened to your latest, I think it's your latest album, Let There Be Love. I listened to that earlier today. The songs are beautiful. How long did it take you to record that album?
Well, it's funny. I was working on that project as I was going through a divorce. So it took a little bit of extended time. Ordinarily, I could do one, you know, do something a couple of months. But with that one, because I was going through, you know, we were going through this, that, and the other, and we were working on the project together, so it took like
a minute.
Year.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Back that thing up. You said you was going through a divorce with your husband, and he was helping you make the album as well?
Yeah, we were working on it together. He was a producer. Yeah.
Wow. That must have been weird, awkward. No, so you
the first project we were together and we were in the same house and everything went smoothly. It didn't take any time at all. But when we were going through the divorce, he lived his place and I lived mine, and you know, so it was a little more technical trying to get together, and of course the vibe has to be right also. And if the vibe isn't right, then it causes a little it's not as smooth. And you can hear it in the album. You know, it's funny. This interview is funny because I'm bringing out a lot of things that I had never expressed before. But the CD did not go as smoothly as it should have gone, and it could have been much better if there was not the underlying things happening during the process. Because with creativity, you have to be in the zone, and if there's anything marring the energy, it doesn't come out the way it should. So even though it's okay, it could have been much, much better if things had been right, if the energy had been right all the way through the process.
I know it had to affect the sad songs because as a writer, and you know, Chris dabbled in writing and Mark writes in journals, so people don't realize they are writers when they don't even give themselves that credit. But, you know, when you're at a stage where you're either very emotionally, whether it's good or bad, the sad songs, man, when you put your heart into it, because people be feeling your spirit and stuff, man, those things be selling because it's real, it's raw. It ain't something that you just reading some words and trying to make that melody work. They can feel that, you know. So, wow. I wonder if Mark is back from the toilet yet. Had we lost Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Did he ever make it on, period? Did he ever make it on?
Yeah, he was on, and the mic is still on, so I don't know. Well, a lot of times we take a long time getting back to the phone. It could be one or two things. Somebody to knock on the door, or he got himself hot in his throne, you know, doing what he do. But it is what it is. When he jump back on, he can just jump in where he fit in. So, Dee, at 48, when you first started, you know, utilizing your talents, you know, was that because that was when you were having a divorce, or was that just something, an epiphany just happened, say, let me try my hand at this. I need to make some more coins.
Well, what had happened was, you know how we say that. I was a poet. I was a member of a poetry group, and I was like a militant poet, a socially conscious poet, and I was writing that kind of stuff. And then somebody invited me to be a part of an erotic poetry show, and I said, I don't do erotic poetry. And so, at that time, all I did was socially conscious poetry. And so they kind of talked me into it, but I was resistant. But what I did was I went on and wrote one little piece for this event. And when I got there, I said, I can't do it because it's just not me. Mm-hmm. However, on the way home, I was reciting it, and it just happened to have a Sade song came on, and I started reciting that spoken the erotic piece that I had written. I started reciting it to the music, to Sade's music. And when I got home, I kind of recorded it, and I said, hey. And so I let this musician hear it a couple of days later, and he said, you want to record that for real? And so I didn't know anything about it, but he said, I'll walk you through the process. And so he introduced me to a couple of musicians, and we got original music. And that's how the Woman Flower CD, which is all erotic poetry, and that changed everything for me. I went from not doing any erotic poetry at all to that's all I do.
Oh,
you know, it all turned into love stuff, yeah. So that happened when I was 48.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dee, we all adults are here, and I always tell people, this ain't the Barney Show, you know. It's not for children, you know. If you don't get your panties in a bunch, you know, then y'all need to hang up, because we call the show Unmasked because we be peeling back those layers like you peel an onion. So some things will come up. This ain't for little kids. So while we're talking about this, would you happen to have some of that spoken word right now, or do you know it by heart? Can you kick a few, kick out a poem for us? Do your thing.
Well, that was done to music, and that was in 98 now. Come on. I don't remember it like that. I mean, I remember it, but it was done to music like a song.
Well, okay. Well, what about the current spoken
one was,
word?
One was called Dark Showers. Let me see if I can remember a little bit. Dark Showers. Okay. Bewitching bubbles that lather our skin, inducing. You know, I can't remember that one. It's 98. I've never done it. I haven't done it since 98.
Wow. Well, what about your current spoken word? You still do that, don't you?
Yeah, I have spoken word, yeah, but I was talking about the erotic stuff from the Woman Flower CD, which was from 98. It's a lot of it now is romantic. I have it's gone from erotic to romantic. You want me to do a romantic?
That sounds good. I mean, we want you to share some things because I know you wear a lot of different hats, you know, and people don't understand how phenomenal that you really are, you know. But, you know, that's okay. You ain't got to be erotic. You ain't got to be romantic, you know. If you're just standing up like you're at a mic and just talk your stuff, man, just do what you do.
Okay, well, this piece is called And Then I, and this was on the CD, Grown and Sexy Lullabies. It's kind of recent.
Okay.
I looked up, and there he was. And then I said to myself, I've got to get to know him. And then I found myself thinking, wondering what I could do to get near him. And then I followed intuition. I looked at him, and I smiled inside. And with a silent intensity, I let spirit guide. And then I wondered if he was the one sent here for me to finesse me through life's maze delicately. And then I realized if it was to be, it would be up to me to let him see me and all that I'm worth. And then I stopped in my tracks. I took a deep breath and shouted, here I am, from my deepest depth, to myself, of course. And then he stopped in his tracks, and he looked at me, and he asked himself if this could truly be. And then he found himself thinking, wondering what he could do to get near me. And then he followed instinct and gave me a gentle smile. And with a confident stride, he asked me if I could stay a while. And then he wondered if I was sent there for him to treasure as if I were a precious gem. And then he recognized that he, too, felt like me, wanting to know me, to discover more about me. And then he stopped where he stood, looked at me real good, and shouted, "Yes, you are the one for me," to himself, of course. And then we looked at each other, then embraced one another. It was too natural. There could be no other way. And then we held on with all our might. We held on as day enveloped the night. And then we knew, we just knew, there could be no other way. No me without him, nor him without me.
Oh, wow. Go on, baby. Oh, give her some kudos. That was nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
yeah.
I like to move.
Bravo.
Romantic.
Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah.
He was
bravo.
Very
patient.
No,
awesome. How you pop your thumb and stuff. Yeah, go, girl. You go. But you know something? Hang back with us. We're going to take a little small break while we go get some lemonade or iced tea or whatever to wet our whistle. You got a couple of minutes. So we will be back with D. Robinson. So hold on. Don't hang up. Tell your friends to listen in, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been here this week. Yes. Oh, I haven't forgotten, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey, man. I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own guy. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day. No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house? Who are you, man?
Is this your mom?
Who are you? Mother! This is my woman and this is my house!
Oh,
hush.
My girlfriend.
Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Moments of ecstasy, it's like he cast a spell on me. He's a wizard of Oz. Hypnotic ability feels like sweet sorcery. Yeah, he's a wizard of Oz. beneath the covers. He's a wizard of Oz. Just like a miracle maker, this man is a soul shaker. He's a wizard of Oz.
Hear me. I must have pushed the wrong button. I'm sorry.
You was in the bathroom?
I wasn't in the bathroom. I could hear you guys. You couldn't hear me.
Talk
about a medium. I need a medium now.
okay, Mark.
Wizard of Oz the best. Wow.
I love
so
that
is
song.
That one your album that's out now? Your CD out now?
Thank you. That was from an album a couple of years ago. It's called Grown and Sexy Lullabies.
I like that. I like that Grown and Sexy. Damn, I was out to say, yeah. I mean, that melody is the kind of melody like you had a nice day with your lover and you had a nice dinner and y'all not overstuffed and sick and feeling all too full. You're feeling good. You're smelling fresh. And that music playing in the background, it puts that sexy on me. It's like, ooh, make you look at a person with new eyes. Ooh, that's
all right
bad.
Now.
I like that. So since we lost Mark for a minute, I'm going to let Mark ask his questions first.
Okay. Yeah, you wear so many hats, like Terry was saying. I really like the trailer to your new film, Heavy Hitters. Tell us what the status of that and when will it be released?
Well, I'm still trying to raise the money. I'm in negotiations with someone right now and to finance it. So, but, you know, that takes a while and everybody has to come to agreement. So right now all I can say is I'm in negotiations for the money.
Good luck.
And once I get that, I'm ready to start. Everything's in place. Just have to sign on the dotted line for the amount of money that I need to get it done.
What's that lady?
I love the storyline. I love the premise of the film.
Yeah.
It's really. I'm really proud of it. I hope that it. I hope that it manifests.
Oh, I hope so too.
What's that lady's name? ATL, she put on a lot of plays. She made a lot of plays, like, you know, those ones. What's her name? Shalanda? What's her name? And she was giving all those people.
Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah. Have you reached out to her?
No, I haven't. I reached out to private investors.
Well, if I was you, I would try to reach out to her because she's always on TV talking about if you got a good story or something, something, she's willing to give up $50,000. You know, that might, that could be your dream.
Yeah.
It don't hurt. I mean, check
well,
it out.
Well, it won't hurt to try. You're right.
Yeah, it don't hurt you right there. You can hook up over lunch or whatever the case may be. But, girl, that, that song is bad, you know, and you better bring that grown and sexy back. Because we're grown and sexy, you know.
Yeah, well, everything on that CD is the same type. It's the same genre. You know, kind of smooth. They call me. They have a nickname for me. They call me the Queen of Smooth, and also the High Priestess of Love. I have those monikers, so I have to try to live up to those.
If you're still selling them, I still like to buy one. But I'm gonna move this along real quick. I'm gonna let Chris ask his question, then we get to Alan.
Okay. Where are those monikers with pride? By the way, that song felt like it was written in 1998 too, with the other one.
No, that one was very recent. That was like 2014. I wrote that.
Yeah, I know. I was just kidding. It was beautiful. Anyway, my question was, do you find, because that you are a poet, you're able to write the lyrics to the songs easier than, say, if you weren't? I mean,
here's the feedback. Whose mic is doing that? Somebody has got some feedback on your mic, or you must got yourself on speaker, or are you too close to some other electronic equipment?
Nope. Not me.
Could be.
Okay.
Could be we have too many mediums.
You never know. They might be in the funeral.
But, Chris, in answer to your question, as a poet, my poetry is the basis for everything I write. Everything I write. And for years, I was a ghostwriter for hire. I would write for people. Speeches, dissertations, whatever they needed, essays. And it's from the poetic nature in me. Everything that I write is from that poetic center. So, yes, it's entrenched. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily rhyming. It's just the essence of poetry.
Yeah.
That's where it starts.
Seems like to me that would be easier to, if you were a poet already, to be able to write a song to it. It'd be kind of hard, I think, like for me. I might be able to play instruments and everything else, but if I couldn't put two words together, it would be very hard to write a song for whatever. But, I appreciate your skill and your talent and able to do that.
Well, thank you so much. But writing, it's when you write a song, actually, it depends on how you sing it. It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't even have to make sense. You can make it make sense through the music or whatever. There is a template for it, but at the same time, whatever you write, you can sing it. Just like the sentence that you just said, you can write that down and you can sing it. You can make it sound like a song.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And if we get, maybe we can get together later, and I can tell you what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
So Chris wasn't talking. That was Alan. So Chris, go ahead and jump in with your question.
Oh, that
baby.
Was Alan. I'm sorry. I thought that was Chris who had the question. That was Alan. I'm sorry.
But Alan just jumped in there.
All right. Yeah, that's fine. I think Alan misunderstood because Terry said me and then Alan. So. But that's fine. No big deal. But have you written any books or is it just music that you've written so far?
Well, I have written books for other people as a ghostwriter, and then a couple of years ago I wrote my story. The first time I wrote a book with my name on it. And that book is titled The Capricious and Anecdotal Sojourn of a Woman Who Sometimes Processes Information in a Peculiar Fashion. And that's the book
that
I'm working on. Thank you. And I'm working on another one right now. It's a memoir.
Oh, that's awesome.
True stories that have happened. True stories that very unusual, but true stories that have happened over the course of a lifetime.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you.
You know,
you're welcome.
Clay is phenomenal, man. She does so many things, man. It's hard to just. Is she also a producer? You know, what have you produced, darling?
Well, producer in terms of producing, I've done two short films and working on the third one, video, music videos, produced some of the songs that's on my CD, some of the songs on my ex-husband's CD. Yeah.
I see you bad to the bone. I ain't mad at you. So go ahead, Mom.
Thank you,
baby.
Yeah. I really, really like White Grand Prix, your spoken words song.
Okay.
Did you really accept a ride with a man with a white Grand Prix?
Well, he did have a white Grand Prix, but the poem itself, the song itself, is actually he became the white Grand Prix. It wasn't about the car. He was the car. He became the car that was driving me crazy. He was the car that was going too fast.
Okay.
Metaphorically speaking. But he did have a white Grand Prix. But, but it's done metaphorically, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't really, yeah, that's the message behind that.
I really like that. Thank you so much.
And what
you know
what? What was it like growing up in Gary, Indiana, a few blocks away from the Jacksons, Michael Jackson and the Jackson family? What was it like then?
Well, back then it was just normal life. We were about maybe three streets away from each other, and from the Jacksons. But it was just normal life, life in a small city, and
Did your daddy work in the steel mills?
My dad worked in the steel mill, just like Michael Jackson's dad did, and everybody else's dad worked in the steel mill.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
Yep.
And that's when you started writing poetry?
Those were the good old days. Well, I was writing poetry, but like I said, I didn't understand that there was something that could be an art form for me at the time. It just did it naturally. I didn't realize then what I had. I didn't realize the capabilities of it. And it's funny, when I went back to class reunions, like 30 years later, people would say, you were doing this when we were in elementary school. And I said, I was. You know, you do things naturally. You don't think about it in terms of that when you're doing it, when you're a kid, you didn't realize. I didn't realize it. And I didn't even realize other people recognized it either until they told me 30, 40 years later at a reunion.
And that's true. And
wow.
Then when you think of you did those things, you're absolutely right. But, you know, something, we're going to come take a little small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2. Stay with us.
Okay.
Was rolling in my car when I pulled up at the mall. Couldn't find a place to park. Threw my keys to the valet.
Hand it for me.
I was only about to hang. Wasn't looking for a thing. I was just about to bounce. And then I saw Miss Lady. Then I said to myself, pretty little thing, a couple of bags in her hand, right in front of Macy's.
That's where the pretty girls hang.
Then I saw her at the food court, sipping lemonade, conversating on a cell phone, looking so amazing. And I said to myself, there she goes.
babe. Take her to the cookout.
Me and her gon' hang.
Take her to my mama house. If she need a hair done,
my cousin can.
I'll treat her like a queen. Give her everything.
She will be my girl till we old and gray. Some of your time. Oh, yeah,
yeah. Oh, welcome back to Unmask. And that tune was by Charlie Wilson, "There Goes My Baby." And if you're in the Columbus, Georgia area, he's going to be there at the Civic Center for New Year's Eve to kick it off with the old and the new hits, and he's going to do his thing. You know, we're so glad to have Dee Robinson here with us, and we didn't talk too much about her being a medium, but she was talking to my co-host, Alan, who is also a medium, and she said her gifts are like she sees visions or in her dreams. Could you elaborate on that? Maybe you and Alan can tell me the different kinds of mediums that's out there.
Well, I don't know if I'm exactly a medium. I just know that I'm connected to the to other dimensions, other side. To the other side, I'll put it that way. And I have I have dreams that they tell me what's going to happen, and they happen just like the dream.
Wow.
I found out things about people that I had no clue. I had dreams, and I would wake up and say, I had a dream about someone, and it would be the exact dream. I had a dream about my friend's fiance. This is terrible. I had a dream about my friend's fiance that he had another girlfriend, and I saw them in my dream. In my dream, I saw them in a grocery store, and he couldn't avoid me because we kept going up and down the aisles. You know, we saw each other in the aisles, and so he introduced me to her, and he told me her name. And it went on and on. And I told my friend the next day. I told her about the dream I had. And I was just, you know, just thought it was a coincidence, but she told me that the girl's name actually was what I told her, what the dream that came to me in the dream, the name that came to me in the dream, that was her name.
Wow.
I found out that it was true. I felt so bad. But it happens like that all the time.
But, Dee, let me say this real quick. You know, here, the lottery and the Mega Million is like 900 some plus million dollars. Right now. Now, if you have a dream and you got a dream of numbers, give me a call. Say, let me get on it.
Yeah, me too.
Now, you know, now if it worked like that, we would all be hitting the lottery. That's not how it works.
It don't work that way, Terry.
That's not how it works.
It don't work that way, Terry.
You know,
sounds good, though. We get most of our information from spirits, and those spirits, they can't tell the future just like we cannot tell the future. So they can give us a bunch of numbers, and we're still not going to hit it, you know. So that's the way that works.
Exactly.
But your dream.
But nice
there,
try, Terry.
Your dream there, is right on.
Medium. Passive, aggressive, different kinds. Can somebody explain that to me? What is a shaman?
What's that, a medium?
We had guests on the show that called themselves shamans. We had people on the show called psychics. We had people on the show called mediums, you know, and then we had some called visionaries. So for people such as me and other listeners out there that really don't know, could you give us a brief lesson on what does each of those four do? What's their abilities?
Well, a shaman is a healer. I call myself a healer, but I kind of also consider myself a shaman. There's different kinds of mediums. There's a spiritual medium. There's a passive medium. There's just a clairvoyance, which is also in that group. What else did you want to tell me to tell you?
Well, I had said shaman, medium. Clairvoyant is pretty much what D is, because don't clairvoyants tell the future?
Well, yeah, they're supposed to, but I don't know how much how accurate they are. I know there's a couple of them out there that's really, really good, but I don't know if you can still win the lottery, though.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if Mark, Alan, I don't know if what I do is clairvoyant. I don't know what it is. I just said medium because I can relate to you is that. But what happens with me is I don't dream about the future. I dream about what's happening now that is unknown.
Yeah.
You know, just
mm-hmm.
like with my friend's fiance and several other similar incidences, that was happening. We didn't know about it because it was being done secretly, and it was exposed to me through my dream because I had no idea about that. And that's how it always comes to me. I always get information when I'm not looking for it, never look for it. It comes to me, and I'm always shocked and surprised. I say, wow, who knew?
Well,
you're
a medium.
I don't know what title you would call that.
Well, you're a medium because I've had dreams all my life. I've had dreams that, you know, most of them come true. I had a dream once that my wife was playing around on me, and sure enough, she was. Not my present wife, my late my ex-wife. I also had other dreams about things that came true also. So, yeah, you're closer to the other side than a lot of people are. And most of those dreams are told to you by your ancestors and stuff also. I know. I can tell you right now your financial part thing is going to go okay. You might not make it with the first guy that you come to, but I see and I've been told that your finances for that picture is going to come true and you're going to be all right with the finances part of it. So.
Oh, good.
So,
hey, now that's some good news. I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah.
Well, because the story needs to be told. It's like that script is so good. It has to happen. It has to happen. I've been offered
definitely.
Smaller amounts than what I need. I've been offered, you know, because I have the budget. The budget came in at $3.5 million. And I've been offered less money than I need. I've been offered $500,000, been offered $700,000.
Yeah.
But I'm just holding out until I get what I need, what the budget is.
Exactly.
So, you know,
and that's what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Got a feeling. My wife is also a medium. She just told me she's got the same feeling. And I have a gentleman here. Has your grandfather passed? He's presenting himself to me. Yeah. Your grandfather.
Yeah, my grandfather passed. Mm-hmm. My grandfather passed.
Yeah. He's presenting himself to me as your grandfather. And he's telling me the stuff. He's telling me for you not to give up. He's also telling me that your finances will come together. And he's also telling me that he likes the movie, what it's going to be about. So keep on the steady
great.
There.
Great. I accept and receive that. Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the movie going to be about?
It's about stepping. You familiar with that? The dance stepping?
Yeah, dance like you know, like you do in Chicago.
Yeah.
When
well, it's not about stepping, but it's set in the world of stepping. It's kind of similar to the movie Saturday Night Fever.
Uh-huh.
It was set in the world of disco. You remember that movie with John Travolta?
John Travolta. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a drama. It was a drama, but it was set in the world of disco. Well, this is a drama, but it's set in the world of stepping. And stepping, the best of the best steppers are called heavy hitters. And so it's a romantic drama set in the world of stepping.
Oh, that sounds good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you get an opportunity to backstory about the people's lives and stuff, as well as, you know, you get a chance to hear good music. That's wonderful. So I know, Chris, question real quick, because then we're going to have to give it over to Dee so that people get her contact. So, Chris, go ahead with your question, baby.
All right. Well, first of all, Dee, I know Terry mentioned Shonda Rhimes. I also want to say Oprah Winfrey. You know, I'm sure you know Oprah has her network, and she has great programming that I think would fit your movies from what you've told us. So something to think about.
Well, you're exactly right. And you know, my problem is I'm so independent. I always think about doing it myself. And I need to reach out to touch people who are already in that arena. It would be easy for them to do it. Because they have the resources, they have the studio, they have access to everything. So I should reach out to somebody else. I guess I've always been afraid of once they get the story, what do they need with me? You know, it could push me out. And so I've always done things independently, but I need to reach out to somebody like that.
You don't worry about that. You got it listed with the Writers Guild, right? You got it registered, right?
It's copyrighted, yeah.
Okay, good. But you know, if you need Tyler Perry's studio number, I have that, you know. So real quick, I'm going to let
He works with Oprah all the time.
Yeah, Mark, ask the question, and then I got to give Dee the mic so she can go ahead and tell us how to reach her.
Dee. So you produced the trailer for it. Is that all you've done on the movie so far?
In terms of production, I have about maybe 20 other scenes shot. But what is going to happen, those scenes, I probably won't be able to use any of that footage because the cameras, when I get the money to make the final thing, the cameras will be different. So I'll have to do all that over, and the actors and actresses, you know, because I started off doing it independently. And so I've shot the scenes, and those people probably, the scenes that I shot probably won't include those actors when I get the money to do the big.
Well, I'm not paying extra or whatever.
Well, I keep you posted. So all that footage is probably for naught, but except the only thing I can write it up as is experience.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, Dee, our time is running short, so please let people know how to get a hold of you and tell them how to get your music, your media sites, if you want to let them connect with you, because I'm sure if they don't get a hold of you soon, you're going to have that 5,000 and they can't get a hold of you. So,
listen to you. Okay. Well, of course, Facebook. I made 3 new Facebook friends today. The guy's right there, your co-host, and Brett TV. Facebook.
Yeah,
so Facebook
you.
Is a good
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
And I also have a website.
Thank you.
Yes. I also have a website, drobinson.com, and you can go on there. And I need to update it, too. I have some new stuff I need to put on there. But that's the best way, drobinson.com and Facebook. And my music is all over everywhere. It's all over.
YouTube. You got a lot on YouTube, too.
Yeah, YouTube, and, you know, you can go to any of the digital sites, Apple Music, Spotify. It's all over everywhere.
And
Amazon.
All you producers out here to do music, don't be shy. Look, this chick, Dee Robinson, man, she got the flavor. She got the talent. You heard her work tonight, man. She gave us 2 of her beautiful songs. Hook her sister up, man. You know, make her do what it do, because one hand don't clap. You know, if you help her move forward, you know, she'll bring y'all along with her, you know. So, hey, hook up Dee Robinson, y'all.
I think something good is going to come out of this. Everybody that I met tonight, that I connected with tonight, I think something good could come out of that. So let's see, guys. Let's make it with
you. Ain't God good. But anyway, Dee, on behalf of me and my co-host, we appreciate you being here tonight on this Friday evening. You can
thank
always,
you, Dee.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. Nice meeting everyone.
Bye-bye, Dee.
Nice meeting you.
Okay.
So,
bye.
Next week, y'all, we got Barbara Patrone doing part 2, a psychic, you know, and she's going to be doing free readings. So if you get on the show next week, you can get your readings done for free. You know, so make it happen. Dee, we love you. And we're taking this thing home on Unmasked.
All right.
Bye-bye.
My prayer was not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out, and I'm going to testify, and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God, every day is feeling just like Sunday. Wife is fly, by my side, green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams, just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise, what's in the water got you acting like this. Ain't a day gone by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed, yes.
I'm blessed.
Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good. And every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes,
I'm blessed.
Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed.
Doing time, got a message for you.